Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Parkmanship Podcast. My name is Ryan, and I'm with my co-host, Andrew. Andrew, how are you doing today?
Pretty good. You know, can't complain. It's kind of nice out.
Yeah, nice.
Yep.
We've been off the air for a little bit, but from now on, we'll get back into our bi-weekly schedule.
Yep.
And our next episode is going to be the beginning of our Black Hills and Badlands two-part episode, because where are we going next Thursday, Andrew?
South Dakota.
yeah it's gonna be a lot of fun.
Well, I'm going to visit some of the North Carolina parks on Wednesday, so it threw me for a loop for half a second, so that's why there was a weird delay in my answering.
Yeah, you got some other fun stuff to do beforehand.
Yeah, so but it's our first big trip since January.
Yeah. The yep. Infamous Arkansas trip.
Yeah. Yeah, that one was relaxing.
I mean, I thought the trip was not the flight back.
Yeah, not the flight back. You know, yeah. The delay in the drive back from Pittsburgh instead of Bradley.
Yep.
All right.
Have you done any preparations for the South Dakota trip yet?
I bought new hiking shoes.
That's good. I haven't done that yet.
Yeah. And then I got to go buy another pair of like Eddie Bauer like cargo shorts, because I like them because they have multiple pockets.
I definitely have to hit up the REI's doing their Labor Day sale, so I have to definitely hit that.
Oh, true. Yeah, that's a good sale to get in on. And then not really. I mean, I have most of the stuff from the last time we did a big trip like this. I mean, minus it was Glacier, so I don't need Bear Mace here. So,
yeah. Also, can't bring that on a plane. So,
yeah, that's also true.
But yeah, so normally I start planning for packing like 2 weeks out, and we're definitely under that time frame. And I have not done so yet. I've been working on other projects. So,
well, I come back from North Carolina for at work for a day, and I have exactly an evening to pack everything. So.
And then the only reservation I've done so far is for the Minuteman Missile National Historic Site, so we can go hang out with the nuclear weapons.
Oh, yeah, yep.
That'll be fun.
I've confirmed the rental car. That's what I did.
That's important.
Yeah, that one was the big one. I just had to pay it off now. So, yeah. But
and then obviously the hotel's been booked for a long time.
Yeah, yep. All right, let's hop into the news stories of the week. Ryan, you have a pretty lengthy one, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, so flooding has remained a big issue in the national parks this summer. It's kind of been the big issue of the summer. If you remember, we already covered this when there was some major flooding in Yellowstone National Park in June that actually shut down the park.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still recovering from that. I still think one of the entrances is closed. I know one of the neighboring towns is still shut off from rest of the area.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, and then since then, we've had numerous other closures in some pretty major national parks, and those include Death Valley National Park that was shut down for a while, Mojave National Preserve. I think that's still shut down. Or
yeah, I just saw an article on it, and the headline picture is a Tesla halfway in the dirt.
I saw that. It's like half sunk and caked in to the mud.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if there's a flood warning or a flash flood warning, please stay away from the parks. And then also Joshua Tree was closed down for a bit. Also, just a couple days ago, the backcountry of Carlsbad Caverns was closed down. So Death Valley, Mojave, and Joshua Tree are all kind of in that like Southern California, kind of close to Las Vegas area. So if one goes down, it makes sense that the other two also go down. But yeah, Carlsbad Caverns is pretty far away from that area. So interesting that's happening all over the place. And then also about a little over a week ago, there was flash floods in the Narrows of Zion National Park. That's and terrifying. A hiker unfortunately died from the flash flood that occurred there. So flash flooding is actually very dangerous in slot canyons like the Narrows is. There's many slot canyons in the Utah area. And when I went to Zion, there were tons of signs there, especially once you got closer to the Narrows area, which I think is the Temple of Sinuwavu stop on the tour bus. So, yeah, definitely talk to the Rangers. Definitely look for signs, look for the forecast. If you see heavy thunderstorms in the forecast, you probably should not be hiking near the Narrows or near rivers. Because, yeah, this has definitely been the summer of floods. And yep. It's certainly stealing headlines from wildfires, which is another major issue at the parks these past few years. But, yeah, all this is another unfortunate case of global warming affecting the park experience.
Okay. I'm just looking at my article here.
Angie, you want to go hike the Narrows?
No. Nope. But
I want to.
Nope. We're good for right now.
Okay.
We're going to talk about some positive news, though, which is the National Park Service reopened Theodore Roosevelt's birthplace to the public, which has been closed since...
Before COVID.
Yeah. I think we went there before COVID. We went talked to
2017, 2018, yeah. Some, I think 2017.
I think it was before a Mets game.
No, I think we just went for a day.
Okay. Yeah.
We did anyway. What's the one on Christopher Street? Stonewall National Monument the same day.
And they're getting a visitor center at some point, which is going to be pretty cool.
Yep.
But going back to the Theodore Roosevelt birthplace, you will need to make a reservation now. And they're only open from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. and then 1 to 4 p.m. Wednesday through Sundays. Pretty restricted hours.
Yeah, I think if you actually look further on the article, I think it says later that reservations are not required but strongly recommended.
It did, yeah.
Which was also the case when we went. We just were lucky enough that nobody was really there. There's only a couple other people on our tour, so we just walked in and got tour tickets.
Yeah, it says walk-ups may be available but not guaranteed. So
yes, that's good. That's a cool site. Glad it's opening. I really hope all the New York Harbor parks finally open, because on the last episode we talked about how some of them still are not open or completely open.
Yep. All right. Speaking of day trips, let's hop into our topic of the week, which is the Rhode Island National Parks sites.
Yeah. So Rhode Island has two national park sites, Roger Williams National Memorial and Blackstone River Valley National Historical Park, which it also shares with Massachusetts. And Rhode Island, Andrew, did you know, is the only New England state that does not have the Appalachian National Scenic Trail.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
All the other New England states have that trail run through it.
Okay.
But yeah, we went to Roger Williams and Blackstone River Valley in the summer of 2016 for a day trip. I think it was in like late July, early August, I want to say.
Yeah, I remember it was in downtown Providence, one of them.
Yeah, that was Roger
Williams. And Pokemon Go was really big.
Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wanted to go to these two sites because they were kind of in day trip distance. They didn't involve, it still involved a lot of driving. I drove, but it wasn't too much. Like, I think it was like 5 hours that we drove the entire day, which is a lot, but also definitely.
That's back and forth though.
Yeah. 5 hours total.
Yeah.
And then I think what also interested me was that Blackstone was also recently just established at the time. So we went in the summer 2016, and Blackstone River Valley National Historical Park was established on December 19th, 2014. So it was quite new when we went there.
Yeah. I remember it had a small visitor center.
Kind of.
Yeah. It wasn't really a visitor center.
No.
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, It's not like somewhere I would go again if I was in the area, maybe, but like not really.
Yeah.
Because I don't, I think the only time I've been to Rhode Island that wasn't for the beaches was that.
I've been there a few times for hiking on the beach.
Yeah, but you don't go to Providence. You don't go out of your way to go to Providence.
No, well, sometimes I did. It's not a cool city, though.
It's really not. It's run down. It's very very or very forgettable.
Forgettable is a good word.
Yeah.
But anyway, we started off our trip with a side stop at a mall in Connecticut, in Eastern Connecticut. Do you remember this at all?
Kind of. I barely. I remember the Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah, like I forget where it even was, but the only two things I remember are the Pokemon Go and the Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah, that's all I can remember from this trip, honestly. To be quite honest, I remember Pokemon Go was really big, and you had to stop and hit something, one of those centers, every couple feet on the trail.
That's why we went to the mall.
That's also true.
And then a Buffalo Wild Wings just happened to be there, so obviously we had to stop there too.
Honestly, I was talking about this the other night. Well, I went to our Buffalo Wild Wings in our hometown. Every other Buffalo Wild Wings we've been to is like 10 times better than ours, because somehow ours is like the worst than I've been to.
Is it?
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
I don't know.
The one in Arkansas is like down there, but like service wise, because we were standing there the other night, a little side tangent,
Okay.
and we were trying to like, hey, like, we'd see a table for three, and she's like, well, you can wait outside. We're like, we could sit and wait at the table, like there's 20 tables up. She's like, well, I can't. And she like was spazzing out, like freaking out, and all we wanted to do was sit down and wait 10 minutes, because you know, like, but she just like freaked the heck out on us because we were asking for such a simple thing, but she was so stressed she couldn't like process it. And that's not like the first time that like this Buffalo Wild Wings has been like not great. I mean, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we went in with a big group and they told us eight different restaurants we could go to besides Buffalo Wild Wings. So that was really cool. But yeah, that's my side tangent about our Buffalo Wild Wings.
And this is Parkmanship, sponsored by Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yep.
All right, so the first national parks that we went to on this trip was Roger Williams National Memorial. And Roger Williams National Memorial commemorates the life of Roger Williams, who created the Rhode Island colony and was one of the first champions for religious freedom in the colonies. And this is the one that's pretty much in the center of Providence, which is Rhode Island's capital. We started off the trip here at the visitor center, which was located above a set of gardens in the middle of the city.
Yep.
I thought the visitor center was really small, to the point that I forget if they even had a gift shop, but I was able to get my Parks Passport stamp there, so
I don't
that's all I
think they
cared about.
did. I do remember one more thing about this trip is that you were offended by McDonald's having lobster rolls.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah,
I
never want to get a lobster roll at a McLobster, whatever they're called.
remember that distinctively driving in Providence and you getting very upset about it.
Because it's disgusting.
Yeah.
Another side tangent, like a couple Mets games ago, I actually got the lobster roll there. Bad choice.
That bad?
I mean, it was a lobster roll, so it was good, but like it's what I would imagine a McLobster roll would taste like.
Well, you'll have to get it again today when we go see the Mets play the Dodgers.
No, I'm getting something else, something good.
Okay. Well, back to, I guess, the forgettable city of Providence and their
Yeah.
national park sites. I don't remember much about the visitor center besides it having a couple boards up, like
Yeah.
posters, but that's
Yeah, I do
about it.
remember that now that you say that.
Yeah.
It's like I'll be honest, I wasn't that interested in Roger Williams to begin with.
No, this is in our early stages of us visiting parks too.
Yeah. Like I really started getting into it in like the second half of 2014. And our first trip together was summer 2015.
Yeah, DC.
That was 2016, but we did the Saratoga trip in
2015. Yeah.
Oh boy. But yeah, after that we went into the gardens, which were also part of the park. And I guess that was the best part of the park. Like, it was a nice distraction from an otherwise very boring city.
I couldn't tell you what they looked like or where they are. I just remember this yellow building and you playing Pokemon Go.
I mean, we got pictures with the park signs in the garden. So you should have pictures unless you deleted them.
I gotta look. My phone's full of so many photos nowadays.
Yeah, same here. I have to do the $3 per month storage plan with Apple.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, same. But let's talk about Providence as a city.
Oh, wait, hold on. One more thing about the park. One other thing I do remember is there being a bunch of signs on like the telephone poles and stuff for National Park Service Centennial, because that was going to be that summer, like a month after we visited.
Yep.
But I was a little disappointed that there wasn't more than that, considering like we went in late July, early August, and the Centennial of the National Park Service was going to be later that month in August.
Yeah, it was pretty bare bone.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Providence as a city. I could care less for it. There's really nothing there.
Yeah, we got out of there as soon as we could.
Yeah, it was bad. Do you want to explain what the Blackstone River Valley National Historic Park is? Because honestly, I just know we walked through it.
of course I do. So Blackstone River Valley National Historic Park preserves some of the remnants of the Industrial Revolution in the Massachusetts and Rhode Island area, mostly through preserving canals and mills. And when we went to the Slater Mill District, which I think is the most easily accessible district of the park, as it's just outside of Providence. So it's next to a bunch of major highways.
Yeah, it was definitely out of place.
Oh, yeah. And we started off this trip by going to some office building, which they considered the visitor contact station at that point.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, like, remember, we had to cross the street and go into an actual office building.
Yep.
And, yeah, so all we went there for was so I can get my passport stamp, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, it's all I can remember besides just walking around and playing Pokemon Go.
Yeah, I mean, we crossed back across the street, and that's where Slater Mill is, which was fine. You know, it's a nice view of the mill, like working through a canal in the middle of the city. It was some suburbish city of Providence. I forget where it was. But yeah, do you remember that at all?
I remember.
Probably have pictures of it.
I do. I just don't remember what else we did besides walk around because none of the buildings were open.
That was it, because as I mentioned earlier, it was quite a new national park. They were still getting it up and running.
Yeah.
And actually, I visited there again last summer.
Why did you go out of your way to visit Rhode Island?
I forget. I didn't go out of my way. I went to Adams National Historical Park because that was the last park I needed for the North Atlantic District.
Yep.
So I got that, and it was still pretty early in the day. I was like, well, okay, what's nearby? And Blackstone River Valley it was. So I just stopped there to check it out. And it's improved a lot since. Like, it's clear when we went, a lot of why it wasn't running so well was because it was so new. But the Slater Mill District, there's a lot of improvement. First of all, there's an actual visitor center there now.
That's cool.
There's tons of interpretive signage. And it's kind of gated off now from the rest of the city. So it's much cleaner. There's tons of signs being like, here it is, tons of parking. And actually, like, feels like an actual park when you go up to the mill and just, like, sit there by the river. So, yeah, a huge improvement. They're clearly investing in it now.
Okay. Which one do you prefer of the two?
Blackstone River Valley, just off of the basis of my second trip. For you, I can see this being a tough choice.
It's going to be neither. It wasn't a tough choice. I didn't want to decide.
I mean,
I do have some interest in going back since the improvement, but
yeah. I think Blackstone River Valley was cool just to see, like, the personally see the transformation from a new park to an established park. I thought that was quite interesting.
and the real reason people go to Rhode Island is for the beaches and the mansions in Newport, which we somehow ended up at. I don't
I don't
remember.
know why we went there, but it
I
was a good
know.
choice because I liked it. It was a nice evening there.
I remember we drove, we went to go, I don't know. Was there a state park we were going to in Connecticut, and that was the easiest way to loop back?
No, because we definitely got into Connecticut like way after dark. But there was a state park in Newport that we went to.
I remember we climbed over a barricade and took pictures on a rock.
It wasn't a barricade. It was was like a breaker for the surf that we went with, that we crossed onto.
Okay. I remember we got into downtown Newport and we ended up at the Red Parrot.
Yeah. Which yeah, I had a couple beers there. I had fish and chips, which is one of my main go-tos. Can't go wrong with that at a coastal restaurant. But yeah, so I would recommend the Red Parrot as a restaurant in Newport. And I think that brings us to our fry review of the week, Andrew.
Honestly, I can't remember them, but they were probably pretty good, so I'm gonna give them an average score. But I
Okay.
do distinctly be remembering walking out and really wanting ice cream, and then there's Ben and Jerry's on the right.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. And there's
Cause
a fudge
you,
store next to it.
yeah, cause I got it was that year they released the Tonight Show and the Late Show. Dough, and I got the Stephen Colbert American Cone Dream, and I think you got the Jimmy Fallon one.
I don't think I got ice cream. I think I got the fudge at the store next door.
Oh, that's what it was. It was fudge. Yeah, I do remember that.
But yeah, Newport was a lot of fun. There was a lot of Pokemon Go stops there.
Is that why we stopped?
I don't think so. I forget. It might have just been we were trying to go to, we probably like looked up, or I probably looked up like, what's a cool coastal state park? And that's the one that showed up.
Yeah, I mean,
Because I remember our first stop was the state park. We were just hanging out on the ocean.
yeah. I mean, the real reason people go to Newport is to look at the mansions.
Yeah.
But I don't have any interest in that, and that's probably why we went to the state park.
Yep.
But yeah, I as well, how would you rate Rhode Island as a state?
Oof. I mean, if I don't know how I'd rate it, but if you know you're on the coast in Rhode Island, like you're going to Newport or Narragansett or something like that, it's a beautiful place. But other than that, there's really not a lot to do. And if you go inland, it's an especially boring place. Like Providence is, like, don't even bother going.
Yeah.
It's a small state with some very nice coastline. If you're not going there for the coastline, like there's no point in going. Sorry, Rhode Island.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I don't know. Like I there's a way someone described Ireland to me that makes sense here. It's kind of like a ring road. Everything nice is on the outside. It's kind of like a donut. The interior is kind of meh, like not memorable.
Well, comparing Rhode Island to Ireland,
I'm not comparing
come
them.
on, don't even
I'm
put
using.
them in the same sentence.
I know. I'm just using the analogy as it's like a donut. Everything is cool on the outside, but the middle is barely nothing.
No, I'm not. This is Irish. This is Ireland slander, Andrew.
I'm sorry.
Not hearing it.
Okay, but I mean, Rhode Island's like in the bottom five for me of states, and the my least favorite states, New Jersey. But that's a whole different tangent we can go on when we talk about parks in New Jersey.
Like I also do not like New Jersey, but there is stuff to do in New Jersey.
Yeah, but New Jersey smells like garbage.
It does.
Like, all right, so small side
And
tangent.
it has you have to like get the person to do the gas for you there too. That annoys
Yeah.
me.
Yeah. Speaking of, Small side tangents. We drive through New Jersey a lot when we do road trips for some
Yeah, just
reason.
because I-95 runs through there. That's the main way to get into the Mid-Atlantic.
And anytime you hit the Jersey border, it immediately smells like garbage. I could be asleep in the car and I'll know we're in Jersey because it just smells so bad.
Yeah.
And I'm usually asleep in the car.
I feel like we crap on New Jersey too much on this podcast. I do want to say some of the southern sections of New Jersey are really nice.
Yeah.
And
It's northern New Jersey, the industrial park area, like right coming off from the city.
yeah, but even like the Delaware Water Gap area of New Jersey in northern New Jersey is there's a lot of good hiking there too.
Yeah, I think
So it's not all bad.
it's just that pocket of upper, was it northern, northeastern New Jersey, where it kind of you cut in from the city into that area where I-95 runs through. Like it's like that little part just kind of ruins New Jersey.
Yeah, New Jersey is a bad state, but I think I talked myself into saying that New Jersey is better than Rhode Island.
Yeah. Rhode Island, there's nothing memorable there. And if you want to go there, like, if you want to, like, go to Newport, cool, but, like, it's expensive. But,
Yeah, probably.
yeah, like, I wouldn't go to New Jersey on vacation or Rhode Island on vacation.
I
I
would
mean,
try.
I wouldn't go to both, but, I'd do a day trip to the beach with friends. At most, but I can also do that in Connecticut.
Yep.
So, I don't know. That's my quarrel with New Jersey, but I think that brings us pretty much to the end, Ryan, here.
Yeah, onto
Besides,
the final segment.
yep, our top three favorite drinks at the parks. Oh,
Yes.
God.
So I'm go Do you have a top three?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. So I'm going, like, the way I set this up was kind of vague, but I'm going with alcoholic drinks directly in the parks for my top three. You can do whatever you want because I left it kind of vague.
Yeah.
So number three for me is the Killer Irish Red at the Superior Bathhouse Brewery in Hot Springs National Park. So Superior Bathhouse Brewery is the only brewery located in a national park. It's down in Hot Springs in Arkansas, which we've talked about recently here as we just did our trip there this past January. And I tried out a lot of beers there in the 2 times that we went, and I thought the Killer Irish Red was the best one. So that is my number three. Number two for me is the Prohibition Punch at Skyland Tap Room in Shenandoah National Park. We did not go to the Skyland Tap Room when we were there, but we did do the Big Meadows version of the tap room, and they did
Yeah.
not have the Prohibition Punch. But those tap rooms have such great mixed drinks. You can't go wrong with any, either at Skyland or Big Meadows. And then number one, you can probably guess, Andrew,
How
is
the
the Spiked Huckleberry
yeah.
Lemonade at the Lake McDonald Lodge in Glacier National Park. I had so many of these drinks while we were there in Glacier because they were just so great. You get to just walk out to the back where you get great views of Lake McDonald's, or you can bring it in your car while you're touring the going to the Sun Road. So such an enjoyable drink and experiences. Andrew, what was your top three?
Top three. Number three is the spiked hot chocolate at Shenandoah. I think it was with vodka. No. Do you
I forgot
remember?
about that.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
That was at the Big Meadows. I forget what it's
Meadows.
called, but it's the Big Meadows version of the Skyland Tap Room.
Yep. Number two. It's not in a national park, but the Miami Brewing Company we went to in Dry Tortuga. Or in Florida, and they had that really good shark bait or shark bite shark bait beer that was really good.
Yeah, can I just butt in for a second?
Yeah.
When I was making this list, I thought about that constantly, but it didn't meet my interpretations of the list. But yeah, that was excellent. And it
Yeah.
was very, very close to Everglades, probably like 10 minutes away.
Yeah, and then number one is the Huckleberry flavored lemonades at Glacier.
Yeah, I think that was an easy number one.
Yeah. We definitely had those every time we drove past it. So, and we were there a lot. But yeah, I think that's in my top three. Or is my top of the three. So, once again, Ryan, it's that time.
Yeah, this is our last episode before we go on our big
Trip.
Badlands and Black Hills trip.
Yep, so I'm Andrew.
And I'm Ryan.
And this was Parkmanship.